T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joe Zagacki is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We'll get to him momentarily. By the way, you can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe Zagacki, the voice of the Miami Hurricanes on this NBA draft night. But in the 2 o'clock hour, Crowder revealed that he's got a great twerk game.
Yeah.
And he said, if I were to, it all stemmed from, I saw some money on the floor. He's got a big pile of money. Told me he's got a twerk game. If I wanted to pay, I could see it. And my contention is that I'm not going to see a great twerk game because I don't think he's really got a twerk game, because that would mean you'd have to be practicing in front of the mirror and then believe you're fire as you make your moves. And
I know how to train. I've trained for years.
What?
I don't have the biggest booty, but I can move it.
Yeah, I don't have the biggest booty, but I can move it. So Omar Kelly had tweeted this conversation between Hockman and Crowder about a $50 bill on the floor in the studio and Crowder's twerk game. USA just scored early on in the game. 1-0. Team USA, thank you for...
baby.
I wasn't even watching, and we've got money on Team USA. What is that, the third minute? Team USA leading Sweden 1-0. There you go, baby.
I love it.
Never has that song made me that excited. Anyway, Omar Kelly tweets, this conversation between Hockman and Crowder about a $50 bill on the floor in the studio and Crowder's twerk game and whether Hockman can pay enough to see it is magnificent. And I tweeted him back, you know he doesn't have a twerk game. You'd see his 7th torn ACL if he tried.
It's all about fast twitch muscles.
Well, Omar tweeted me back, and he said, every black man has a twerk game. And I said, I'm going to have to defer to Cornbread Maxwell. So you need to write that down for the blacklist.
It's all about quick hips.
I don't think every black man has a twerk game. Do you agree with Omar on that?
Majority.
Not majority.
I say majority. Some, you know, some goofy dudes and some of them not. If you knock kneed, it's going to be tough to twerk. But, yeah, majority, yes.
Write it down, Solana, for Cornbread Maxwell. We'll bring him on for the blacklist maybe tomorrow and find out. And, obviously, this is what I wanted to talk to Joe Zagacki about.
Joe has a twerk game.
Joe, do you have a twerk game?
I am not walking down that plank. No way, no how.
Well, I don't think you have to walk down the plank. I'm assuming you believe is the stage and the strip club, like not an actual plank on a ship. But I don't think you could do it in the bedroom for Mrs. Zagacki.
Ooh.
That would be a first, I guess. I don't know.
Leave Joe alone. Joe ain't worried about no twerking.
Not an area that I often delve into.
Who on the Miami Hurricanes broadcast team do you think has the best twerk game?
My partner's on a billboard half naked.
Oh, that's true. Don Bailey Jr., yeah.
You start there.
Yeah, he's got to have a good twerk game.
Right? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's talk some NBA draft with Joe Zagacki before things go more off the rails. First of all, Dejuan Hernandez, who played for UM as Dejuan Hewell, for those people that didn't follow last season. It was kind of a lost season, but Dejuan Hewell didn't play last season. He was suspended. And so he has worked out, though, for several NBA teams. I see that there's some projections that he goes maybe in the second round. Do you think Dejuan Hernandez gets drafted tonight, and do you think he can be an NBA player?
I think it's going to require a lot of work on his part. I think probably he ends up with one of those two-way contracts. I'm not sure that he gets drafted tonight unless it's at the end of the second round because they don't have any information on him for this past season. You can have all the workouts you want, but there was no evidence of his improvement this year because he didn't play. He showed significant improvement between his freshman year and his sophomore year. He showed a variety of post moves. He improved his game facing the basket. I thought he became a more physical player in his second year. But this year, when he was going to take the big jump, nobody was able to see it. And I know he worked out in the camps. I think he did pretty well there. But I think he's probably going to end up in a decent situation, but I'm not 100% sure that he'll get drafted. I think he'll be a free agent with a two-way contract someplace and then have to work his way into the league.
One of the things, obviously, you watch a lot of ACC basketball. Any doubt in your mind that Zion Williamson is going to be an NBA superstar? We're talking like an elite player.
You know, I think he's going to be a great player. I think I do wonder about where does he fit in the NBA. And I know that when Miami got ready to play Duke, he was injured. It was after he blew the shoe out. But nonetheless, we weren't sure if he was going to play or not. So we went through the whole exercise of the scouting report on Zion. And I think one of the things that jumps out about him is he doesn't score much from outside of 5 feet from the basket. Now, maybe he doesn't have to, but 76% of his shot attempts going into the Miami game were within 5 feet of the basket. He was a 37% three-point shooter in the ACC. He has the athleticism. He's explosive. He's a dynamic player. But I still think he's going to have to work on his game, his perimeter game, and be more than just a guy that can spin on the baseline.
And, Joe, you've covered ACC basketball for a long time and a bunch of great players. Is Zion the most – like, does he jump out to you, you know, his athleticism, his game, just anything as the best ever, or do you have another player that you were more impressed in with the, in the past?
You know, I thought, and Coach L and I talked about this a couple of years ago, when Miami played Duke, and they had Brandon Ingram. I'm trying to remember if they had Ingram and Tatum on the same team. But I think that Coach L and I were talking about Ingram. At the time, we thought he was the best one-and-done player that that Mike Krzyzewski had. And so it looks like he's going to be, you know, shipped to the Pelicans. But I thought he was going to be a surefire NBA star because of his length, his size. He could shoot the three. He could rebound. He's a really difficult matchup. So I thought up until Zion, it was Ingram.
Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes, is with us. We'll stay with Duke there for a second then. R.J. Barrett, so he's probably going to end up going to the New York Knicks. And I don't know what the Knicks are going to end up with, if they end up with KD or, I guess, the long shot of Kyrie now still. But let's say it's just R.J. Barrett. Can he change a franchise on his own, or he's just going to be a piece?
I think he's just a piece. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's going to change the Knicks and turn them into, you know, what LeBron did with the Heat or the Lakers or what he could do with Cleveland. I think he's a very good piece. I think he's probably a 10-year player. I think there was a lot of consensus in the ACC that Reddish was the better player, but Barrett is the guy that likes playing more. Reddish, you know, the knock on him was he's the most athletic player, but you got to push him to play. He's got to be motivated. Barrett loves to play. He's only 200 pounds. And by the way, Barrett and Reddish, when Miami played them, they just put on a slam dunk show. Barrett is a high-volume shooter. I thought this was an interesting note with him. On that Duke squad that had Barrett, Zion, and Cam Reddish, Barrett is such a high-volume shooter. He took 180 more shot attempts than anybody else on the Duke roster. So he wants the ball, and he wants to shoot the ball a lot. He's a great kid, loves to play, averaged 7 3-pointers per game in ACC play. But for him to be a high scorer, he's going to take a lot of shots.
We talked Zion, and then I skipped to what's going to be the number 3 pick, I'm guessing, R.J. Barrett. Let me just go back to the number 2 pick now. Ja Morant, any doubt on him?
No, I thought the only thing I have about him is, you know, a little bit of his size. But, God, you watched him in the NCAA tournament, and he made every play, and it was effortless. And I think don't underestimate what guys do in the NCAA tournament. I think that's a pretty good barometer of how guys play. That's a big stage with a lot of pressure. You know, in his case, a mid-major team going up against teams that have more talent and more depth. And he kept them in every game. He carried them in every game. I thought he was a great player, so I have no doubt because he can score, he can handle. The way the game is being played today, With the quick passing and shooting the three, he fits right into the NBA game.
Now, I saw a mock draft in Sports Illustrated. They had the Heat taking P.J. Washington from Kentucky, the forward. There's been some, you know, talk bandied about Bol Bol from Oregon.
Oh, don't do that.
Is there a guy that you're looking at that you think is going to be available at 13 for the Heat where you say, yeah, they should take him?
You know, I'm going to stay in the ACC, and I wouldn't be shocked if Nasir Little falls to the Heat. Now, he was like the sixth guy for Carolina, and he was the guy that was involved in the whole University of Miami Adidas thing. He was the guy that Miami was recruiting and thought they had. So maybe he ends up in Miami a different way in the NBA. But he has an NBA body. He's 6'6", 220 pounds. That dude is a man. And when he came off the bench, you went, whoa. You know, you sometimes can look at games and say, wow. And he jumped out. He's got the NBA body. He's athletic. He was a capable three-point shooter. The thing about him was at 6'6", he was a hell of a rebounder. Like all Carolina players, he preferred to attack in transition first, but he was a really good all-around player. And NBA guys like young players. He's a one-and-done young guy, 6'6", 220 pounds. So if he's there, they would have to have a very serious look. And then a dark horse, and I don't he'll probably be there, and I stay in the ACC, but this kid, Nafondu Cabangeli from Florida State, he too came off the bench, I think primarily because Leonard thought he would get into foul trouble. But he was instant offense, instant energy, loves to play, great range, very long wingspan, 6'10", 256 pounds. I don't know how he fits into the Heat roster, but he's going to make somebody, he's going to be a very good player for somebody. Very able and willing learner. And, you know, you talk to Leonard and Stan Jones about him, and they could not have higher praise. I think he's a guy that can carry a team, and he's got a variety of moves, really tough to defend, and doesn't mind playing defense either.
What about the aforementioned Bol Bol out of Oregon? Crowder cringes every time he hears his name. You think he can be an NBA talent?
I don't know. I get concerned with those guys that are kind of just learning on the job with that, you know, they have that size. Now, they say he's got all the intangibles, and but I don't know. I just I didn't see a lot of him at Oregon. I just didn't see him being as a dominating player or as a polished player as some of the other guys that are mentioned around him. And I don't know. I think the last thing that he needs is another guy that's going to be soft around the boards.
And Joe's going to ask you that, like, when you're watching a center in college, like a Jackson Hayes out of Texas, Bol Bol, Oregon, and then Goga Bitadze, the guy out of Georgia, the big, you know, big tall dude from overseas, like, do you watch them and know that their game can't translate to the league? Because that's my thing against Bol Bol. I know he has a little outside shot, but I don't know if seven-footers are really where this league is going.
I think when you, in college, you know, one of the first things that happens, a lot of times if you have got a dominating center, you're going to find out they're a good passer because teams double them right away. You know, feed the ball into the post to a big guy like that. That's going to be their advantage at the college level. And then you might not have the size to match up, so you got to bring somebody over to help to get the ball out of his hands. So you find out if a guy is a willing passer or if he gets frustrated, or you try to make him get away from their favorite moves. I know Coach L is always looking for a weakness in one of the better, you know, if they got a guy that's really good, they're trying to figure out, well, how can we make him play left-handed? And so I think it's one of the first things you look at when you see guys that size. And maybe is their game, where is their game? Some guys that are, you know, 7 feet tall, they just look a little awkward.
How will Joe Zagacki be watching the NBA draft tonight? Is this a big big night in the Zagacki household?
Yeah, I wouldn't rank that up there in the top 10. I think I'll probably be channel surfing. I'll watch it a little bit. I might be more interested in this women's soccer game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm going to watch it because the drama. I like all the trades, as Crowder was saying when we started our show today at 2 o'clock, like the trades and the jockeying back and forth and stuff. It is fun, right? I mean, it's fun.
Well, yeah,
I guess
if there are trades.
Right.
But I don't think this is a particularly great draft. I mean, I will say
Zion's a game changer, though, but you know he's going to go number one.
The ACC's got like 10 guys. Just show the strength of this league. I mean, you know, if I bring it back to us, they have like 10 guys that could go in the first round or easily in the first round and in the upper part of the second round. And I think the Big Ten has one or two. We didn't even mention Nikhil Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech or Kobe White from North Carolina. Those guys are going to be first-round picks. DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, he's a hell of a two-way player. He's going to be probably the fifth player, fourth player picked in the draft. And he played great during the tournament and in the Final Four. So, yeah, I'll watch some of the drama to see if there are trades. But I'm probably along the lines of, especially for the Heat, what can they do to make them better now?
Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes. I'm anxiously awaiting August 24th, as I'm guessing you are too.
Yeah, I'm counting down. I'm trying to decompress a little before that.
Yeah. Crowder's getting ready to talk his smack. And
I have a good time.
Do I have any reason to talk smack back or nothing doing yet?
Yeah, you know, somebody asked me the other day. You know, they were very, very confident about playing Florida. And I just said, I don't want to, like, you know, take any of the enthusiasm away. But I mentioned, can we wait until we figure out who the quarterback is? Because right now the quarterback is maybe. His name is Mr. Maybe.
That's fair.
A hell of a point, Joe.
That's fair.
Mr. Maybe is not where you want to be.
All right. Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes. Go work on your twerk game.
I'll do that.
All right. There you go. Joe Zagacki.
Lower back, Joe.
Lower back. Get some lumbar support. I don't even know what that means. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back after this. I love Throwback Thursdays. I'm trying to figure out what this is, though. Don't tell me yet. Nice little bass line. You know?
No.
Because what happens a lot, Solana, you know, 25 years old, 26 years old, he doesn't know 80s music, so he just kind of does it by luck.
And he looks up, like, best song of 1984.
Right. But he doesn't look at who made the list.
Yeah.
You know, it's Ronnie and a Tercel. Ronnie and a Tercel's top songs of 1983. What is this?
If you don't know this, that's on you. That's on you, Hawk.
Okay, I don't know this. Who is it?
I'm guaranteeing I can ask my mom. Sounds like something Pauline would like.
This is Gwen Guthrie. Ain't nothing going on but the rent. Banger.
Is this an 80s song?
80s song.
Are you sure?
Got it from an 80s list, Hawk. I'm pretty sure.
Ain't nothing going on but the rent. Because this sounds like a remix. I know that song. Hold on. Ain't nothing going on but the rent. I just want to make sure that's 80s. I may have to pull rank on you here.
This was the wake up on Sunday morning music that was playing in my house. They always had music playing.
86. All right. Was it ever a hit, though?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it'd have a little more.
Number one on the U.S. Billboard R&B chart.
A little more something to it.
Look at these are the chart peak positions for this song. Australia topped out at number 75. This is our draft coverage, by the way. Belgium topped out at 28. Germany, 21. Ireland, 6. The Netherlands, 25. New Zealand, number one song. Banger.
New Zealand.
Sweden, 17. The UK, number 5. The U.S. Billboard Hot 100, number 42. I was more of a Hot 100 guy than an R&B guy. You know what I'm saying? He's a knee guy, so.
You're an R&B. You're not even like R&B?
I do, but I was more of a Hot 100 guy. You give me a little bit of everything there. And in Zimbabwe, number one.
Hey.
Zimbabwe?
Hey.
Zimbabwe, Ireland, and the U.S.?
No, strange,
it was
right?
It was the New Zealand.
New Zealand.
The New Zealands and the Zimbabs. No, it's up.
The Zimbabs.
Should I crank it?
Okay.
The yam.
Is it?
Was it easier to get a top five song back in the day? Honestly, I'm not that impressed by this song.
This song doesn't strike me as a great song.
It's a yam.
Is it?
It's a yam.
You put this on your playlist?
Hell yeah.
You work out to this?
In my Tercel.
Ronnie in a Tercel.
Oh, Ronnie.
NBA draft is tonight. whole bunch of people wondering what the Miami Heat might be doing. You saw they acquired, was it the 44th pick from Atlanta?
For a 2024 second round pick, too. It's
That's not guaranteed.
For some reason, they wanted a second pick this year.
Here's what Ira Winderman tweeted out earlier today. Per NBA source, the Heat's 2024 second round pick dealt to the Hawks for tonight's number 44 pick only conveys to Atlanta if it is number 50 to 55 in the draft. If it's number 50 to 55, it goes to the Cavaliers if it's numbers 56 through 60. And if it's neither of those 10 spots, it's retained by the Heat. In other words, the Heat keep it if they don't have one of the 10 best records in the 2023-24 season. The Heat also paid $1.8 million cash for the pick. They paid the Hawks $1.88 million in cash. My thought is, I think Clay Ferrero tweeted out something yesterday, like the Heat have 13 roster spots taken, so they need to fill out the roster. And an easy way to do so is to draft someone in the second round. You get someone on the cheap, maybe has some upside, and you get to see, you know, there's very little risk in a second round NBA draft pick. And the Hawks wanted to get rid of some of their picks because, as someone pointed out, how many picks they have? Five, I think. They don't want five draftees on their roster. It's just waste. They're wasting their time. So if they can get a couple million dollars here, a couple million dollars there, throw a couple down the road later, be beneficial for the Hawks.
I read Clay say that, and I've heard a couple other people say it too, where it's just a roster build out. I was hoping it was acquiring assets to move something.
Right, which is a possibility as well. Like you had said at the beginning of the show, maybe someone's interested in taking Deion Waiters' salary or Hassan Whiteside's contract if you package in the number 44 pick or if you package in the number 13, but then you at least get to say if you're the Heat, we still had a pick in this draft. It might be them getting ready to move the number 13 and not want to be holding no picks and all you're doing is jettisoning a player. At least now you've got a pick that you can introduce to the media and the fans because you had to get rid of the 13 along with a contract. So
getting rid of 13 to dump a Hassan Whiteside, I think it's worth it, but you're losing the 13
pick. I don't think so, though, because you only have him for one more season.
Right, because he's
expiring.
Might as
well just eat it now.
Because he's expiring, I don't think if they do move that 13, it'll be paired with Hassan. I think if moving 13, it's either pairing James Johnson or Deion Waiters.
Right, it's got to be guys that have more left than just one. Although getting rid of what I believe is a headache for Eric Spoelstra. I'd read something, or maybe we were on the air talking about it. Someone said it. Very rarely do Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra seem to be on totally different pages on personnel. They are on Hassan Whiteside. Yes. Pat Riley has tried to shove Hassan Whiteside down Eric Spoelstra's playbook since he re-signed him. And I don't know if it's Pat Riley really believing that this guy is superior NBA talent or Pat Riley not wanting to say I made a $100 million mistake, so figure it out. And Eric Spoelstra seemingly has said season after season through his actions, yeah, I'm just not seeing this the way you are, Pat. We're seeing this guy two separate ways.
It's a mistake, and Pat knows it's a mistake. He has to admit it now, right? He can't act like if we sit here today, he can't act like this Hassan Whiteside deal was a good idea.
But was the mistake him paying Hassan that amount of money over that many years, or was the mistake Eric Spoelstra not utilizing him in a way that Pat Riley thought he was going to utilize him? Because Pat Riley might tell you the latter.
But he can't say that because after that, they still draft Bam. They still bring in KO. They still are adding big guys with Hassan at $100 million. Kelly Olynyk and Bam didn't sneak on the roster.
Right.
Pat was a part of that.
Right, but it was because they weren't using Hassan in the way that he envisioned them using, and he can't be without a big man totally. So I don't know. I think my guess is that if you ask Pat, it would be, no, I was right on that. They just, you know, they, Spo, never used him in the way that I envisioned.
But if I was talking to Pat, I probably wouldn't say it to his face because I'm kind of scared of him, but if I was allowed to, I would say, if he's this great, Pat, and Eric's not utilizing, why is he not a big trade piece? Why aren't teams coming to grab him at $29 million? If he's that great of a center, another team would want him.
Yeah, it's a valid point.
Like you're saying, if we have an interview, I'm sure he'll say, no, this is what, I didn't make a mistake. But just a couple glasses of wine sitting on the back porch in his, L.A. apartment. It may not live in an apartment. L.A. home, I guarantee he can tell you on truth serum, yeah, he's not worth $100 million.
USA is leading Sweden 1-0 in the 33rd minute. Got USA Women's World Cup soccer going on just for transparency purposes. We've got money on USA -1 and 1.5. So we'd like to see some more goals. But again, USA leading Sweden 1-0, 33rd minute. How's the game playing out, Solana, about the way you expected?
No, actually, it's a very competitive game. You did get the early goal from Lindsey Horan, but still a competitive match.
All right. Obviously, USA, they're the favorites, but they're a lot better than Sweden, or Sweden obviously has a pretty decent team. It's only a 1.5 line.
I thought they were much better just because Sweden didn't pound on Thailand the way USA did, but I guess not.
No, it's funny. I was watching last night, and somebody was interviewing a lady over there, wherever they're playing. I don't even know.
France, right?
In France. And she was saying that the U.S.
from France.
Should be a better team.
Stupid.
But Sweden knocked them off last year. So
thinking myself last.
This year.
I am from France.
Coneheads.
Terrible movie.
I knew you were going to. You know what I was watching? Because I knew you were going to try to bet on it. So I needed some kind of information on it. I was like, let me watch this.
As opposed to the normal betting, which is totally uninformed. Which it was for me. You're the only one that has any knowledge of the game.
I have to look into it. The U.S., they are the favorites, obviously, because they're -1.5.
Hurricane season is here. I repeat, hurricane season is here. Perfect reminder for you to call or visit BNT, Impact Windows and Doors. BNT is the company my wife and I used for our home, and it really is a great feeling when you have PGT custom windows and doors protecting everything. And not only does our house look better than it has in years, and not only do we feel great because everything is so well protected, but our homeowner's insurance is going down. That's one of the benefits when you get Impact Windows and Doors throughout the home. You get the wind mitigation, and then you can lower your premiums. BNT, Impact Windows and Doors, that is the way to go. Tom and Brett came out to our house. They showed us exactly which PGT custom windows and doors would serve us well. And then, boom, we were on our way. And everything that they do is top-notch, top of the line. And there's some great news, too. There's a mail-in rebate right now for PGT products. BNT will help you submit the rebate, by the way. You can get $30 per window and $100 per door with a minimum of 5 products or more. It applies to aluminum or vinyl frame and WindGuard series, and the rebate is now through July 19th. So as long as you get that order in by July 19th and that rebate submitted before September 20th, you are good to go. So now you got even more reasons to call BNT, Impact Windows and Doors. Call them at 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126. Or check them out online at BNTImpactWindows.com.
Radio.com.
This song is used heavily in the original Karate Kid movie and then again in Cobra Kai, which I just finished season 2, which is all that there is. I am anxiously awaiting season 3 because this show is so bleeping good that I want to shout from the mountaintops to watch Cobra Kai on YouTube. And what I do is I Snapchat Solana and some other friends of mine. You're not on Snapchat. And don't ask me to be your friend on Snapchat if you're listening. It's literally just to bug Dr. Chuck and Jim and Solana. And I snap them scenes as I'm watching it. And like Solana, he snapped me back yesterday. He's like, this looks like the worst show in the history of television. And if you're not in on the joke, yes, I could see where you would see that. But man, if you get it, if you get the campiness of it and how they're making it so ultra serious, the karate and the school, and I'm telling you, this show is great.
I got it. I related to Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang was like a parody of serious.
Yes, like there's a.
And they take themselves seriously, which is what makes it funny to me.
Yes, and Pootie Tang, he has to go off because he gets stressed out. He has to go off and clear his mind to go back and fight Dirty Dan or whatever his name is. But he is a legit bad guy. Pootie Tang's the good guy. He needs a woman to help him out.
It's one of the reasons that I find George Shea, when he comes on the show, such a great radio guest. He's the commissioner of Major League Eating. This dude will have you believe that he takes Major League Eating more seriously than anything on the planet. He believes the sport is more popular than soccer or football, and he never breaks character.
Yep.
He never tells you, wink, wink. And Cobra Kai does the same thing, man. The show is so bleeping good. Now, I have suspended my subscription to YouTube TV because I saw it. Now I'll just wait for season 3 to come out, which doesn't come out till 2020, I read online. But, man, that show is so good.
You can do it day to day?
Yeah, it's month to month.
Oh,
and there's no, you know, like, because it's just an app, so there's no, you know, you don't have to keep it a year or whatever. So, whatever. It's a great show, though. Everybody just locked in on Adrian Wojnarowski's Twitter account. That's pretty much my day so far. He hasn't tweeted anything in 4 hours. A little disappointing.
You know what he's on TV? You ever watch him on TV?
Woj?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him this morning, I think.
He's very deliberate.
Oh, he's...
His delivery.
Yes. He is a news guy.
Yes.
He's news.
We talk to all the NBA guys, and
yeah,
he's the biggest name. When you see him... It's a fact. It's facts.
You're right. He deals in facts.
No opinions. And if they ask him an opinion, which I love, he'll tell you, I don't know.
You know, I keep squinting at the screen up there. I forgot to put my glasses on. I was trying to figure out what minute it was.
Get them, Pender Hughes.
They're in the 45th minute right now. So it's what, 2 minutes of, what do they call that, stoppage time?
Stoppage time.
So 1-0 USA over Sweden. And they've got a chance here. How was that for soccer play-by-play?
Well, a chance here.
I became Carol Channing. Well, Team USA has a chance, but no goal scored.
Leave my boo-boo alone.
That's a lot of people don't know. Channing Crowder is named for Carol Channing.
Yes.
Who I believe had a twerk game herself.
She had a little booty, but she could throw it around.
It's all my glasses. My glasses growing on you at all?
No, man.
Really?
I laugh every time I see them.
Got my clip-on sunglasses today.
You got them?
I bought some clip-ons, yeah.
Don't wear them around me, please. I wouldn't be worth a damn
just
the rest of the show.
Clip them in. Blah, blah.
You clip them on the edge of your glasses?
Yeah, man.
Do you flip them up?
They don't have the flip-ups like Kadeem Harrison from... A Different World.
Exactly what I was going to say. No flip-ups.
Oh, man. Those glasses were so hot back in the day. I bet you wore those.
No. He's to make fun of
people. Everyone wore those. Stop it.
A bunch of dudes wore them. Like the stylish guys would get them, and we would kill them.
Really?
Them.
But yeah. That was, I mean, everybody wanted to. What was his name in A Different World? You remember? You don't even know. I'm looking at
someone. What are you guys looking at me for?
Listen, I don't remember people's names.
Kadeem Harrison, right? Wasn't that his name?
Cool guy, whatever. Yeah, I didn't.
Look up Kadeem Harrison's character's name in A Different World, or someone texted in 56022.
Yeah, I remember his character. He wasn't my guy. I was a legit jock. Like, I was a jock.
Right.
Like,
so,
AC Slater was my guy. I was a 100% jock.
I got you. So you had to be cool at all times. You couldn't fall into whatever everybody else was doing.
Yep. And it carries over. Like, I don't give a damn about what clothes I wear now, and it's from my childhood. Well, like when you're a jock, you just wear workout clothes all day because everybody looks at you as, oh, he's going to run. He's going to do something.
Kadeem Hardison?
Hardison. What's the character's name?
Oh.
He said his damn real name.
I just asked you what his character's name was.
Dwayne Cleophas Wayne.
Oh, Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne. Wayne County.
It was
yeah, there
fine
it is. Here come all the texts. Dwayne Wayne.
Don't worry, guys. I got it.
We appreciate it. Somebody else texts in. Hey, Hawk, so you spoil the finale of Game of Thrones, but not Cobra Kai? Yeah, I don't want to ruin it for people.
For who?
It is so good, man.
Like 17 million people watching Game of Thrones.
They said on YouTube that 20 million people have watched Cobra Kai.
Like consistently or just...
I don't know how the numbers work. It might be our podcast numbers, but whatever.
Because, Hawk, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know. There's no way Cobra Kai is beating Game of Thrones.
I'm not so certain.
Hawk.
Do you know what's becoming the best, most viewed movie in Netflix history? Because it had been Bird Box for a while.
No.
Do you know what it is, Solana?
No.
It's this new one just came out this week with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. You seen the previews for that?
No.
It doesn't show up on your Netflix homepage?
Whose?
Because it's supposed to show up like a preview, but I'm wondering if the Netflix homepage is cultural.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, it just shows you stuff so you want to see.
You don't get the Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler movie like I do and everyone in my neighborhood.
I'll tell you, when you get Cobra Kai, when you're Cobra Kai-ing, they put up Jennifer Aniston.
I got you.
Murder mystery.
Okay. So Lori and I watched it last night. It is becoming, just based on the number of people that have watched it over the first 3 or 4 days, it will be the most viewed Netflix original movie since Bird Box, which has held the title of number one.
Is it good?
It's so bad that I can't even begin to tell.
But like the bad good?
Like
you saying Cobra Kai has a little...
Cobra Kai knows what it is,
yes.
And it does it flawlessly. And I'm telling you, it's great. This Sandler Aniston movie is just lazy.
Shouldn't there be a cap of how many movies you can make together with, like, the two starring roles? Like, Adam Sandler...
Well, I don't think Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston have ever done a movie together.
Oh, they've done, like, 10 movies together.
No.
No, okay. They haven't.
No. Are you thinking of Drew Barrymore?
No, I'm thinking of...
50 First Dates and all that?
No, I'm thinking of... They did one with Andy Roddick was in it and his wife, where he's a dentist.
Jennifer Aniston's a big jaw lady, right?
I'm telling you.
Oh, like, I know what you're talking about, where she pretends to be his...
Right, his wife, and then...
Ah, they did one movie before.
No, they've done a couple movies together.
Have not.
There should be a cap.
Streaming numbers. People are taking issue with my streaming numbers on Cobra Kai. I just want to make sure I
agree with them. There's no way 20 million people are watching this show. No way, Hawk.
I'm not just making that up.
No way.
How did Cobra Kai do in the ratings? After tremendous anticipation, the Karate Kid TV show Cobra Kai finally premiered. Yeah, but this is probably a year ago. Yeah, this is a year ago when season one came out. So how did the new series perform in the ratings? Well, there's no other way to say it. Cobra Kai kicked ass. And not by a thin margin either. It was a total crane kick to the chest. YouTube Red's new series debuted to numbers that should make rival streaming services stand up and take notice. YouTube is reporting that 5.4 million people watched the first episode of Cobra Kai over the course of its first day being live. Again, that was a year ago, season one. So I got to find more current numbers. I'm telling you, it's a huge hit for YouTube. Like, I bought YouTube Premium for 2 months. So I spent $30. Just to see two seasons of Cobra Kai. Best $30 I've spent in a long time. Certainly when it comes to gambling.
And like you're saying, they're joking about these kids that became older and the rest of their
and
life.
And it is so good.
It sounds terrible.
But you have to love Karate Kid. Yes. I mean, that was one of the seminal movies of my childhood or high schoolhood, whatever it was.
But, Hawk, think about right now if they go back and do the follow-up to Sandlot and see where Rocket Rodriguez is. But I don't give a damn where Rocket is.
I don't want to see kids that look totally different as adults or whatever. Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka, who played, you know, Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence, they were in their 30s, you know, when they filmed it. It's whatever, however many years later, they're in their mid-50s or whatever. They look the same. Like it's not that big a jump. Don't do Sandlot. Do a movie that you, like...
It gotta be kid stars, though.
But it's turning the movie into a weekly episodic television show. Like, I would love to see 48 Hours. I would love to see a TV series with Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte and Judge Reinhold and Bronson Pinchot and I'm confusing Beverly Hills Cop with some of them. But 48 Hours, like, I would love to see them in a weekly show just picking up in today's time.
But that's what I'm saying. But Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte, obviously, they'd still be cops. They'd still be some kind of law enforcement. These were children.
Well, they were high school kids, but they were graduating high school.
Now they're 50.
Right. I mean, but so am I.
What happens?
So am I, though. That's what I'm watching. I was a high school kid when I'm watching it, and now I'm 49 years old. I'm telling you, figure out a movie that you loved, where you loved the characters, and you get to pick it up current day. By the way, 1-0 USA at halftime against Sweden, 1-0. George Sedano is in Los Angeles. Home of the NBA champion favorite Los Angeles Lakers.
You're not messing around.
And tonight's the NBA draft, and Sedano is all over ESPN with his NBA coverage. He's going to join us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.